I have curated a delicious list for you this week. And by delicious, I do not mean all pleasant. The reason that I've decided to include some not so favorite things on this week's list is because life is not always sweet. But the contrast adds to the sweetness of the other parts, you know? I have discovered that celebrating and expressing gratitude for the people, things, and circumstances that conjure shitty feelings, it's important because we couldn't grow without those things. So you can just chew on that for a minute. In the meantime, I am going to get on to this week's directory of deliciousness. The first thing that I want to share with you is kind of like some animated truth. So I discovered this website called theoatmeal.com, and it's great. It's great. Like, you could peruse it all day, but I have curated a few of my favorite things. So if you want to be perfectly unhappy, there's a post for that. If you want to have a little bit of insight on creativity, they've got it right there. And there's this one post that's one of my faves, about the grammar police. You have to check that one out. And there is even a post about having difficult conversations about selfies, which is probably not something you would think about having, but I'm sure it is something that you have entertained. If you're like me, you probably have some opinions about selfies and the people who post them all the time, right? Do check out theoatmeal.com daily if you can for a little laughter and really insightful, because there are so many things on the site that are just so on point, like really expand your brain kind of stuff also, and also some stuff to really conjure some deep belly laughs, which is always great. So there is a tangerine tree that stands outside of my bedroom window. Her name is Whispers. If you want to know how I know her name, it's because she told me. Well, I'm not really 100% sure if she told me or if my brain came up with that, because when I heard it, it was my voice, but that's kind of like God, right? When you hear the voice of God, it usually sounds just like you, but I digress. Anyways, Whispers and I have the best conversations. In fact, Whispers helped me to get through one of the most challenging experiences of my adult life recently. And she's beautiful, but she's also the strong and silent type. She doesn't say much. Don't laugh at me. True story. She doesn't say much, but she communicates with me through her way. It's in the way that she allows her leaves to dance in the wind, and the way that she stands strong even when it's really gusty out. I love how unapologetic she is about the sweetness of her fruit. And she's so resilient that even when her limbs were severed, she grew new limbs, which is a metaphor for my life right about now. There's just so much you can learn about yourself, about the world, about the universe, from a tree. And that's kind of the relationship that Whispers and I have. She's one of my favorite trees. My absolute favorite tree is a tree also here in my town that sits at this park that sits on a bluff over the Pacific Ocean. And this tree is so beautiful and so expansive and so majestic that whenever I am feeling like I need to be grounded or I need to root deeper into myself, the vision that comes to my mind is this beautiful tree. I just love that tree. So, but Whispers is a very, very close second. And if you have a thing for trees like I do, this is a post that I discovered that has some amazing pictures of some of the most beautiful trees on the planet. I encourage you to take a look. Oh my goodness, it's just amazing to me the things that the earth is capable of producing. And it's very difficult to not not feel like you are a part of something bigger and greater and more expansive than yourself when you allow yourself to see the beauty in nature in general. But in my case, my favorite way to experience beauty is through trees. So check that out. Also, last week I was cleaning out some shelves in my closet that I had been avoiding for the better part of 5 years or more, likely more than 5 years. I was digging through, it felt like I was digging through a sealed tomb, honestly, because I found so many long forgotten treasures. And one of those treasures was, I found several book jackets. And a couple of years ago, I had donated a box, a really heavy box of books to the library. The box was so big and it had so many books that I could not carry the box. I literally had to wheel the box into the library on a skateboard, like true story. So I gave a lot of books away, and there were several books that were probably missing their book jackets. And I discovered those book jackets in the sealed tomb of these shelves in the back of my closet. And one of the jackets that I discovered was from a book that left a huge impression on my heart. And it's called The Unfinished Work of Elizabeth Dee. And this book is basically about a woman whose friend Elizabeth died suddenly in a car accident. And Elizabeth leaves a trunk of artifacts to her friend, and the trunk is locked, but it was like I don't believe she had an intention to die, but she did have a will, and in her will, she left this trunk to her friend. And so the story is kind of the friend going through the trunk, and the contents of the trunk reveal a very different woman than the woman that she thought she knew. So the book really speaks to how impossible it really is to know someone fully and completely. It speaks to how we only reveal what we feel comfortable sharing with others. It's also about how unfulfilled desires can gnaw someone from the inside out. Yeah, I'm sure that we all can relate to that on some level or another. And I don't want to give too much of it away. So I'm going to stop there. But you should totally read this book. I really highly recommend it. I enjoyed it. It's a book that really invites you to dig deeper into yourself, to really pay attention to the world around you and the people around you. And anyway, it's thought-provoking. End of story. So check out that book. There was also a really funny cartoon that I discovered this week on the New Yorker magazine website that made me chuckle. It's called High on Canceled Plans. And it's like, it depicts this woman who apparently her plans have been canceled. She's like crying. She's slumped in a chair. One of her shoes falling off. She's in her bra and a skirt, and she just looks downright miserable. And it made me laugh because that's happened to me a lot of times. And not only have I had plans canceled on me, things that I was looking forward to, but I am a notorious, plan canceler. I'm really good about talking myself out of doing things at the last minute. So, you know, the cartoon was funny to me, but it also made me think, like, how many times have I cause someone else to feel like this woman in this cartoon looks because I cancel plans at the last minute. So reflection, real truth, real talk. And now I need to be mindful of that because of that cartoon. So the next thing I want to share with you is a quiz that I discovered on Twitter, actually. And it's great if you are the type of person that likes wine or wants to like wine, but you just don't know how to choose what you like. This quiz is kind of like wine tasting for dummies. And I'm not calling you a dummy, but you know what I mean. So if you're interested in discovering what kind of wine might delight your palate, check out the quiz. You do have to subscribe to their newsletter in order to get the results of the quiz, but you can always unsubscribe if you don't want to remain a subscriber. So there's that. Also, just yesterday. Yesterday I was having lunch in a not so swanky Mexican restaurant that has great chips and cheap drinks that taste good without rotting your gut. I was enjoying it. I enjoyed it. The chips were really good yesterday because I was starving. And I had this really great they grilled veggie burrito that was wet. And they have a really good red sauce that kind of has a smokiness to it. And their guacamole is just chunky enough. Anyways, great restaurant here in Los Angeles. And I'm not promoting the restaurant. If you want to know the name of the restaurant, send me an email. I'll tell you. Anyways, that's not what I'm sharing. That's not the thing, the great thing for this week. I just wanted to kind of set up where I'm going with this. But anyways, on the telly, there was a UFC fight playing out with two women, and the two women were basically hitting one another. And the object of the experience, I guess, is to hit one another until one of them falls or, you know, becomes unconscious or something. Anyways, watching it though made me queasy in the middle of my really delicious wet burrito with the grilled veggies and the chunky guacamole. I began to feel a little bit queasy, and it also made my pussy ache. Like, really, I could feel this ache in my vagina. It was telling. And this is the other thing, is even though I was feeling queasy and my pussy was aching, I couldn't stop watching. Like, I would look away and then I would look back. I would look away and then I would look back. I would look away and then I would look back. And I have a visceral reaction to most acts of violence in the same way now that I'm more awake, now that I am more open, now that I'm more conscious of my own self and the way that I move through the world and my impact on the world and the world's impact on me. So I have this visceral feeling, this visceral sensation when I see acts of violence, even if it's on television, which is one of the reasons that I do not actively watch the news. I kind of filter through what feels good to me on the internet. But the reason that this struck me so much is not so much the fight itself or my reaction to the fight. So not just the visceral sensation of the fight, but it was really about the fact that I couldn't stop looking. That, again, I would look at it, I would look away and then look back, look away and then look back. That was the part that was puzzling to me and curious to me and really caused me to think. And the reason is because I'm not the only one. That is the response that a lot of us have, that we continue to cause ourselves suffering when we feel like something doesn't feel good or it hurts. We look away and then we look back, or we walk away and then we walk back. That is the nature of our madness, and that's how we function. And recognizing those things in ourselves, that's the only way that we can get off the hamster wheel of the experience. So eventually I stopped watching and concentrated my attention back on my delicious wet burrito with the grilled veggies and the chunky guacamole. So I added this thing to the list because I want you to also think about the areas of your life where things are causing you discomfort or distress or making your pussy hurt and you won't stop looking. So think about it. And to end on a high note, the last thing on this week's list is something that's always fun. So Hemingway is famous for a lot of things. I know you've heard of him. Ernest is his first name. He's famous for a lot of things, but one of the things that he is famous for is his six-word story. And his six-word story went something like this: for sale, baby shoes never worn. Six words, easy to sell something. If I remember, and I could be botching this story up, but if I recall, I think that might have been a story that he told to Howard Hughes, I think. Don't quote me. Look it up yourself to check the fact. Anyways, it doesn't even matter. Anyways, that was the story, though. For sale, baby shoes never worn. So six-word stories are a favorite writing prompt that have circulated long before the internet was streaming 24/7. It's like an old news kind of thing that's been going around for a really long time. It's a really thought-provoking exercise. And while trolling Twitter the other day, I saw on one of the, I think they call them Twitter moments, if I'm not mistaken. There's so much social media and I can't remember all the stuff, but I think it's called Twitter moments. And one of the moments that was highlighted was Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the actor, invited people to share six-word stories on Twitter. And the results are interesting, funny, and sometimes outlandish. You can click the link in this post to read some of those six-word stories. But the reason I'm sharing it is because I wanted to invite you to write your own six-word story. And I'd love for you to, you know, leave your story in the comments of this post or the comments of this audio, because I'd love to hear some of the things that you come up with. Six words. It doesn't have to be like a six-word manifesto. It doesn't have to be about your life. It could be about whatever you are experiencing in this very moment. In this particular moment, I am talking to you. So my six-word story could be audio recording, talking fast, slow down. So yeah, it could be something really simple, something that makes you smile. It could be something that makes your heart remember, whatever you like. But I'd love to hear your story. So share it in the comments. I would love to hear what's going on in your world through six short, brief words. Or they could be six long words, whatever, just six words. There's no length to the word, just a length to the story, six words. So that's all I have for you for this week. I really like doing these. I really like recording these audios. I really like curating seven things every week that are captivating my attention. I hope that you're enjoying them as much as I am. And everything that I discussed in this week's post, all the actual things, the links are available in the post. So do click on them. And I hope that you have a really delicious week, because deliciousness abounds.